the OTB Podcast Network. The OTB Sports app. Listen to OTB Sports Radio 24/7, plus all your favorite podcasts, including OTB Gold.
Are you a complete rookie?
The OTB Sports app. Available to download now from your app store.
The GAA Podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.
Now, delighted this Sunday to welcome Donegal football captain and Glen Swilly clubman Michael Murphy to the show. Michael is here with us in association with The Toughest Summer, which is brought to you by AIB, a little series directed by award-winning filmmaker Ross Whittaker. The 50-minute documentary, which features Michael Murphy, among others within the GAA community, is going to be airing on RT1 this Tuesday, August 25th. That's at 10 past 10, and also available on AIB's YouTube channel from 1 o'clock on Thursday, the 27th of August. You can check that out at www.youtube.com/AIB. Michael, thanks a million for joining us. You're obviously at this stage no stranger to doing the documentaries. You know, this is, I suppose, a follow-up on what you would have done a few years ago when you would have gone over and done your little stint playing rugby in Claremont, which you've spoken about. You're getting comfortable with the cameras, yeah?
I'm not too sure about that. I think there's a few more appearances from different ones, so not the the spotlight's just not all on me in this one. So it's good now. Definitely excited to see how it turns out, actually. Kind of the before, during and after piece of the lockdown. I know the after, we're still not out of here, but we're still not out of the woods. But We're getting there. We have football and hurling back as a GAA community at the moment, and we're fairly happy to be playing in it. Few problems now beginning to come in the horizon in terms of people getting out to watch it, but we'll come to them.
Yeah, and I suppose when you started making this way back a few months ago, things have, I suppose, they're always changing, but the landscape, I suppose, we're probably just a lot more used to it now. And when a case does crop up in a club, we're actually just in a situation now where we can, those clubs can do what they need to do. They can shut down training for a little while and they can isolate the people required. Whereas I think maybe a few months ago, we had this idea amongst ourselves that if someone in any club around the country or any county panel around the country was to have a COVID-19 positive case, that, you know, the entire sport would be shutting down. But we are, I suppose, from the start to finish, I suppose, of when you were doing this documentary, we're just in a situation now where we're a lot more used to what's happening and we can react to it accordingly.
I think so. We're adjusting, like, I suppose, to begin with. The whole lockdown came as such a shock because just your everyday pieces of getting into the car in the mornings and going to town was taken away from you. That freedom was taken away from you. You know, the facilities where us as footballers went to train were taken away from you completely. So you had to adjust for a good period of time of what was available at your back doorstep, at your home here. During the beginning of that, and slowly but surely it began to ease, and I suppose we're in a situation now where we're still not fully open, but if you had said maybe 12 months ago that you wouldn't be using a dressing room to before a match and you'd be talking out in the boot of your car, you would say that, you know, that's not possible, we can't do that, you know, this is completely unorganized, you know, you'd be freaking out, whereas, you know, now it is essentially the norm, and we're getting used to it. We're getting used to talking out in the back, arriving 45 minutes before a game, and realizing, you know what, this can be done. You're no less organized than you would have been before, arriving an hour and a half or 2 hours before a game to speak through tactics. So we're getting there. If anything, there could be maybe some sort of a benefit in terms of the preparation of teams as regards this pandemic, and so far as, were we overkilling things too much? Were we traveling for meetings where we maybe could have done it on Zoom? You know, were we coming too early to meet them? We're analyzing things too great in depth, and we needed to just get out there and play the game we love. And I think that's what we're all doing at the moment every weekend.
Yeah, and I suppose it pairs everything back, like you were saying there, pairs it all back to, what do you actually need to prepare a club team? What do you actually need to prepare an inter-county team? Do you need lads to be on site at a training ground 3-4 nights a week? You know, can lads be doing their own work here and there as well? How have you mentioned there, obviously, like getting changed out of the boot of the car and stuff like that. Has there been maybe a bit of crack, a bit of camaraderie built around the fact that this is a real kind of a real pared back style of getting ready for big games?
Yeah, no, there has been so far. Now, we've had a mixed bag so far with the club, so I'm not saying a lot of the stuff comes down to results and how you play, how you managing. And if we're getting beaten a couple, we've got beaten two and won one, and we're playing against the champions this weekend, so it's going to be tough again. So, but every team's managing. Again, it's a level playing field for a Hull, for all teams. No team's using the restroom. Every team's getting togged out in the back of the car. And you're travelling to games that we have later. So, no, I do fully agree with you. And to go over the point originally, I do believe we were probably going down a route there where we needed to meet up a lot of times because it was just the dumb thing to do. Well, they're doing it over there, so we better do it too. Whereas, I mean, what do you need? You need a couple of key messages going out to a game, and then you need games. And that's the big one that we have at the moment. We have a game every single Saturday and Sunday for the last 6 or 7 weeks. Before, we wouldn't have had that. We would have probably played one game and we would have been afforded a 2 to 3 week rest period in between times. And then all of a sudden the analysis ramps up. You get 3 weeks of analysis for one opposition, and you know it can get very, very particular and picky and things like that. So at the moment, not trying to say you're going out in a wing and a prayer, but you're still going out with, I think it's forcing everybody, coaches, players, management, everybody alike, to figure out what are the key pieces of information we need for this weekend, and what are the key pieces of information we need to get across this weekend. And that can really come down to 1, 2, 3 key things, you know.
Have you found that the actual game itself has been any different, or has that just kind of gone off the way it normally would be, even factoring in, for example, the fact that up until now we would have had a very, very small crowd? I know we're not going to have any crowd soon enough, and that's something we'll get to in a couple of minutes. But have you been hearing more around the pitch, things like that? Are you more aware of what's going on in different areas of the pitch?
Not so much now. It'll be maybe slightly different. I don't know if we're pulling on an intercounty jersey where you're used to bigger crowds, but probably for the club games, you would have always been able to hear each other fairly well. The strange thing is the preparation prior to the game. The water breaks halfway through each half has definitely proven something slightly strange and different. You feel like you're only out in the pitch a matter of time before the whistle's blown and you're into a break. You feel like you're getting yourself going, and all of a sudden it's into a water break. And how they've been handled, initially there's a little bit of leeway here insofar as that break used to be maybe, you know, give or take 2 or 3 minutes. Whereas in recent weeks, it's really been a water break. It's been 1 minute. You've been in and out and the ball's back in. So how teams are using them and getting across maybe one key point and getting the water break and trying to adapt to that has been certainly a little bit different and strange too. But gives you a rest, and it can break up the momentum for some teams if they allow it to, essentially, you know.
Yeah, that was something I was going to ask on the water break. Like, I don't know what kind of stages you've been in games where the water break has arrived for ye. I don't know, have you been in a situation where things were going quite well up until then and you struggled to kind of pick up off the back of it? Or likewise, had you been struggling prior to that little mini break and you get the team around together for, as you said, maybe at the start 2-3 minutes, a little bit longer than it probably should have been. And then when you're back out again, people are a bit more refreshed mentally, even just as opposed to hydrated.
That's how you actually... How the result of the game will affect how you perceive you handle the water break a lot of the times. So we handled it very well in one game, but in two games we handled it terribly. The one key factor, funny enough, a lot of the time that we struggled with, and most of the games there at the moment, I don't know, I'm speaking to the other lads in the oppositions and other clubs too, they were saying the same. You don't actually know where the ball had finished up originally. So yeah, you come out of that water break and normally when you come out of a break, it always starts with a hot ball in the middle of the field. But sometimes the ref blew the whistle and the ball was up at a corner forward situation and you had no defenders back there. Maybe it was an easy score. So actually just figuring out where that ball originally did finish up in the last play is sounds so simple and straightforward. But when you're used to coming out of huddles and used to coming out of halftime dressing rooms, and you're just so in tune that it's a hot ball at the start of the half, that can prove has proven a little bit tricky.
And then on the crowds themselves, did it feel a little bit strange coming out for those first couple of games when there was only, you know, aside from players, match officials, etc., maybe only the guts of 100 people there to watch it?
Yeah, it did feel a bit different. The first couple of games that we played were fairly tight games in terms of rivals, so the intensity was still there within the game. Maybe the same atmosphere surrounding you wasn't there, but it was still a championship game and a championship feel. Again, probably now towards the latter stages of the championship, I think it'll become more and more apparent where you're definitely more used to, like, the difference maybe, but what I'm trying to get at, maybe the difference between 200 people and 500 people isn't probably as really, really evident to the player, I found, in comparison to maybe what 200 people and 1,000 people can go like, or 2,000 people. And I suppose in the latter stages of the club championship now, you'd be expecting the normality in a quarterfinal, semi-final and final here in Donegal would be into the thousands rather than the hundreds. And I think that'll be a little bit more, that'll certainly be a little bit more different, I think is the right way to put it, especially now when you're not allowed even a couple of hundred. It'll be, as we stand here at the moment, you're allowed nobody, so that's definitely going to be different for the feeling of what a county final should be. It should be 5,000, 6,000, 10,000 people at it, and all of a sudden there's going to be, yeah, going to be nobody.
So when you were in the situation there over the last few weeks with 200 people in the ground, and you know, were you able to hear maybe anything individually that someone in the crowd was saying? Like, I mean, if you kick a bad wide or something and you hear, geez, Murphy, you so-and-so.
You're trying to hear any expletives. That's what you're trying to say, pointed in my direction. No, nothing what I'm used to fairly much in an ordinary game. I'm trying to think, was there anything more different? No, probably not. You're hearing most things in and around the crowds of 200. You're hearing what you're used to in a club game. But now, as I say, going into the latter stages, you probably won't be used to hearing some of the things that might be thrown your way as the thing gets more and more cutthroat, essentially, you know. Yeah, that's kind of. So it hasn't been mad different other than the dressing rooms. Obviously, the hand sanitizer going out onto a game, you're running out onto a pitch and onto a game, you're ready to go and wash your hands. It's not one of the most common things you would do. And those bucking breaks, halfway through each half, them water breaks, yeah, they can be a tricky bugger now if you're not clued on.
Then prior to all of this happening, prior to March, when you're playing in those big games and it's a packed house at Croke Park or something like that, how are you yourself? How do you react with the crowd around? Are you a tunnel vision person where you actually kind of block it all out, or do you take a couple of moments and try to get a bit of energy off the crowd?
I think it probably depends. When I was younger, I probably would have really taken on huge amounts of it. You know, you would have been going out onto the pitch and you would have been wondering, when you're really young, like in your first couple of games, and you're thinking, wonder where, you know, where I give the tickets to mum and dad, and you're thinking there for a minute, and then all of a sudden you're into a warm-up and you're looking around the place. Whereas now, probably as I've grown that little bit older, and maybe you're more and more used to playing in front of a crowd, you would like to think you're really thinking on your next job or your next thing or your next play, that's what you try to do. But without a doubt, let's face it, there's a new and an eye in the crowd after a big score you get or a big score that the opposition scores. And it can, listen, it does have an effect on you. It's how much you allow it to affect you and how much you want to let it affect you. Do you let it affect you in a bad way that you get your tail up and you run around like a madman trying to, you know, hit everybody that's in sight, and that's no good for your team either. But it definitely can give you a spur on if a teammate or somebody scores a score or makes a tackle, interception or a catch, and there's a huge roar from the crowd. Without a doubt, you can allow it to lift you. But I think it's as everybody tries to tell you, it's important to try and keep yourself in the moment and the zone as much as you can. But let's face it, it's easier said than done. You do get carried away at times during the game. It's how quickly you can bring yourself back into the moment, I think, is the golden grail, I think, for everyone to try and do. Some days it's easier than others.
I'd imagine so, yeah. Now, obviously, the big story this week is the decision that all sporting events around the country are going to be put behind closed doors for the time being, even cutting down from the 200 that had been previously. So it's only going to be the absolute essential personnel who are going to be there. The GAA obviously came out quite strong speaking against that during the week as well. What would your own thoughts be on that?
I suppose initially we have football back, we have hurling back. I keep on saying football, obviously, because I'm playing it, but we have our sports as Gaelic footballers, we have it back. We have it back as a society. We get to speak about the games, good, bad, or indifferent, after the weekend. Some of us are getting to them, others are streaming them and watching them, but we still have a conversation to speak about after it. We still have a bit of hope that there's games there. I think where the frustration lies, where for us all as members of the GAA at the moment, is when we compare and contrast it to different other parts of society. We're comparing and contrasting it to the restaurants, to the beaches, to everywhere, comparing and contrasting the crowds that go to them, to the crowds that go to the golf courses, the crowds that go to everywhere. And that's where the frustration lies. Now, are they fair comparisons? I'm not educated enough to make that decision, but on the scheme of things, you would think that, you know, 200 people or 500 people should be able to be evenly spaced out around the ground at our current level, or games that we play at the weekend. I would think that, but obviously the decision makers to be feel that it's not. But, you know, when you compare and contrast and you see, and you go into town, you go into Letterkenny, you go around, and fair play to everybody, they're sticking by the protocol as much as they can, but you go into places that are supermarkets are a bit more crowded than others. Yes, I know it's essential maybe, but it's just hard to stomach that one at the moment, that nobody can go to the games. However, we can go into other fairly crowded and packed places at the moment. And when you start to make those comparisons, I think people do get frustrated. So yeah, that's Rose's my view at the moment. I think it's frustration for everyone else. I'm probably one of the lucky ones insofar as I'm getting to play. I'm getting my fix or whatever you want to call it, but for my parents, family, friends, club members who can't go now this weekend to support my own club team, that's difficult to stomach now, you know.
Mm-hmm. The criticism that the GAA had during the week was probably the phrasing of the statement that they put out, specifically asking Dr. Ronan Lynn to, you know, to clarify things that, you know, he was mentioned several times in that statement. Would they maybe have been a little bit better off waiting until the following day, taking a breath and kind of just, I suppose, just changing the message ever so slightly and looking when they were looking for the clarification? Because I don't think anyone really was unhappy that they were looking for a clarification on what exactly this is, or even just why exactly this is.
I think that was away, but I suppose it captured captured everybody's emotions at that initial time. Not everybody, I don't like to say it, but it captured, I'd say, quite a lot of our emotions at that particular time in terms of what we wanted. Everybody was like, it was just like a thunderbolt came out and he says, you're not allowed. We were training that night and we're wondering, are we allowed to train? Are we allowed to train 15? You were looking just for a little bit more clarification. But again, these things are going to happen as a pandemic. It's something that we haven't really come across before. We can't go and look at, this is what we've done before and this is what we're going to do now. So there's a lot of, you know, suppose maybe grey areas. But again, when you go back to that comparing and contrasting, I know we're not comparing and contrasting. I'm not comparing and contrasting really like for like there in terms of, you know, supermarkets and restaurants with football pitches and golf courses and whatnot. But still hard to get them comparisons out of my own head, who is fairly new and different to the thing. And I would like to, you know, classify myself as a general member of population or a general member of a club who's thinking the exact same way, and just how we're communicating and getting that way across. And if that way is strong enough and we're said, you know what, there's going to be no people going to the games because these are the key 3 to 4 key main reasons, then I think people by and large will be okay with it. But when them ways are a little bit grey at the moment and I can't explain them even what they are, I think that's where the frustration lies at the moment, you know.
Mm-hmm. Looking ahead then, obviously we're still quite early in the 2020 season of club and county stuff, because there's a whole more still to come throughout the rest of 2020. If, for example, I'm talking hypotheticals here, but if, for example, the ban on fans attending sporting events was extended throughout the rest of the season and the All-Ireland Senior Inter-County Championships were played behind closed doors, how would you feel going out playing there? Would you be happy to still go out and still put on the county jersey, knowing that, you know, there were people at home who weren't going to be able to go and watch it?
Definitely. I said it from day one. I think the most important thing is we get our games back playing. How they look in terms of supporters and fans and followers, I suppose maybe it's easy for me to answer that because I'll be playing. I'll feel maybe a part of it and doing it. But I think we need to play them. I think we need to play it if we can, if everything allows, which I think hopefully it will. I think we need to play the games, and it's just really for, like, if you come back to run your games, and also to give, you know, to give hope in terms of, and to give conversation, to give talk, and to give chat to everyone around, you know, no rural communities here in Donegal. You know, that's what will be spoken about on the, you know, the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday leading into it, and the following week, the same days. And I think that's important. If we take that away completely, then what the void does leave certain communities is going to be massive. Yes, and perfect scenario situation, we want family, friends, neighbours, club mates, everybody to be able to attend both these club matches and, if all going well, inter-county games, because again, that is the whole part of the GAA ethos, is that whole membership from your locality going to represent that club on that day, the fans going to represent the club, the players going to represent the club, management going to represent the club, that whole package goes to represent the club and the county to these venues. But if we have to take away five or six of those, yes, it'll deteriorate the experience for those, and for us and for everyone, but I still think getting the games played is the highest above that, you know.
Mm-hmm. So I'd say, in your opinion, if you were to be lifting Sam Maguire in December and it was in front of an empty Croke Park, you wouldn't really be too upset.
I wouldn't be. You'd be delighted. You'd be ecstatic. You'd be over the moon. God knows what it would feel like. But you'd soon bring it back to everyone, and they would get a fair share of it back home if that was the case that happened, you know.
And it's funny to think as well, because in a parallel universe, you could be preparing for All Ireland football final week next week. You know, next Sunday is when it would have been due to have been played.
Yeah, it'd been nice. I was looking at that, and really kind of the whole pandemic, lockdown, whatever the name we want to call it, COVID-19. I think the heading into July, August, when I seen, you know, the 1st of the 7th, and when I seen the calendar, the 1st of the 8th, it really started to dawn on you, geez, this isn't my normal July, or this isn't my normal August, because it used to be like just full June, July, August, you were just full lockdown, engrossed in this, whereas now, you know, you're able to maybe, you know, do something on a Saturday, go to the beach a bit more, or, you know, you're not, you know, in that inter-county kind of ingrained process. You know, I'm doing a master's here at the moment, I'm spending a bit more time at that, whereas you might not be able to spend as much time if you're preparing, you know, for inter-county championship as such. So yeah, demands at this time of year definitely are a bit strange, but it's just a strange year all around, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And the other big story of the week as well is, we mentioned, you know, we could be preparing for an All-Ireland football final next week. In future years, it looks like there's a possibility anyway that All-Ireland final week will have passed us by quite a few weeks earlier. So the story that, you know, there's deep consideration now and, you know, promising talks about having a defined club and a defined inter-county season, which are running back-to-back as opposed to concurrently. How would you feel about that?
Yeah, it's all, yes, it's all around here today. I'd be over the moon for it. I think the experience I've had, and from speaking around to all, even the other lads in the Donegal team that I've been coming up against there in recent weeks in the championship games and league games, and speaking to them afterwards and how they're finding it, they're enjoying it. It's just nice to be able to solely focus on your one team. As I always say, I think you can only focus on one thing at any one given time. And whereas before, you know, the week before an inter-county game, you would be at a club league game and you're not talking out because the inter-county game's on the following weekend, and it's hard to give in both situations. Whereas I think this will do a number of things, obviously depending on what the actual structure of the competition is in each section of the season, the split season. But you know, it'll give us an opportunity to fully commit to both teams, to a club team when we can, an inter-county team when we can, without that added distraction of feel like you're letting one down over the other. And hopefully too, it'll also allow, because they're two defined periods, it'll hopefully be able to give a fixture list to both the club players, ourselves as Antrim County, or both players, and say, you know what, this is how your season's going to look this year. This is the Saturday or the weekend that you're free. You'll be able to book a weekend. Hopefully, you'll be able to be given a fixture list in February and saying that's your weekend free in July that you have. And you know that you're able to give a definite planned season. So I think that's the things that you'd be crying out for as a player, is just a defined season. But yeah, the other negative that I see at the moment that I'm kind of, I suppose, looking for more information on and trying to figure out is, on those 23 weeks that you're playing with your that you're due to play the season with your intercounty, is, you know, does that mean that you're not around your club for any of it? Like, how will that plan out? That'll certainly seem a bit strange and different. But I suppose you can't have it always. And I think whatever way we can help the greater good of the game, I think if it have to go down this way, which I think is a good one, we will do it. But yeah, you just fear that even though the way the current season is at the moment and there's a mix and match in between, you're always around the club even during the inter-county season. You're always here or there a night, two nights a week, do you know what I mean? Whereas the fear would be during that 23-week block that it would just be full-on games every single weekend with your county, and as a result, trying to get down to the club at all would be difficult. But again, you can't have it every way, you know.
And I imagine then, when you are kind of trying to have some bit of involvement with the club, but you have a county commitment, and you say you're right down at the game, but not togging out, is there ever a sense, maybe a bit of you feel a bit detached from the whole process, a bit detached from the group and the team, even just temporarily?
Detached, I suppose, wouldn't be the word. I suppose the word of the kind of, you feel the word of letting down, really, more than anything, letting down. And the detachment, I don't feel myself personally, because you're obviously within the group, and I'm still, all my best friends are still from out and around in the club, so you're always chatting to them most days. But just, I feel a sense of letdown when you can't maybe make it to that game, or a big game, maybe a league game on a Sunday, and you're playing an inter-county game the following day or the following week, where it's just not possible to play in both. So that a sense of letdown rather than actual detachment, you know. But now having the definite season, which I think the split season should allow, will be, I suppose, a positive, I think, for all parties. And make it possible, you know.
And then one final question, Michael, before I leave you. There's the small matter then when the club season is over, a few more weeks, and then you're into the inter-county training and leading up into October, and the small matter of a winner-takes-all knockout Ulster Championship match against Tyrone.
Yeah, that's it. So,
I mean, talk about high stakes.
That's it. Do or die. Yeah, you know, again, I keep going back to the thing, you're only focusing on one thing at any given time at the moment. I'm not knocking this question, I suppose, down into touch, but you know, the odd day if you're driving or you're going to bed at night, it'll flicker into the head at the moment, that game. But as we stand, you know, you're just, I'm fully focused on a game I have for the club this Sunday against Glenfer Trinan tonight. You know, rest up tomorrow, and then I'll get a go at we're going to have a go at Glenfer on Sunday. It won't be easy, but because the club games have been coming week in, week out, there's just been very little time to think about anything other than that, which is the way it should be and the way it was planned to do. But I know once we get over this weekend, obviously we're not going to go any further in the championship. We might have a relegation battle to continue with, but once these next couple of weeks are over for me, I know straight away, as any player, any human being does, your focus turns to what's next. And for next for me and next for a lot of us will be, you know, back to Donegal when the time and when the dates allow us to do so. We'll be going by that, and we'll be getting in touch, and we'll be getting stuck back into it. And yeah, they don't come much bigger. First day out, all going well against Tyrone, and yeah, home venue. Looking likely it'll, you know, be in front of maybe nobody, but yeah, it's still going to be a big game.
Yeah, I can imagine even with nobody there at Tyrone Donegal, winner-takes-all game is going to be something else. Michael, pleasure as always. Thanks a million for joining us on the show.
Thanks, Neil. Good man.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.
The GAA Podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.